This oral history is brought to you with the support of Guttman students and staff and funded by the American Council of Learned Societies and the Mellon Foundation. Enjoy.
So, my name is Itay Hernandez and I am interviewing Tagita in remote virtually. Today is Thursday, October 22nd, 2020. Do you give me permission to record this oral history?
Yes.
Okay. What is your name?
My name is Tagita Fadiga.
Your age?
I'm 20 years old.
Occupation?
I'm a student.
Racial identity?
I'm African.
Gender identity?
I'm a female.
Sexual orientation?
Straight.
Where are you from?
I am from West Africa, Senegal.
Okay, thank you. Now,
of course.
Why did you leave your country of origin?
I left my country of origin because I wanted to be more and do better in life. I grew up in a village called Majali in Senegal, where education is every girl's dream. However, due to economic reasons, not everyone is able to attend school. Therefore, I came here to better my life and provide back to those I left behind with resources available to me here. I know that I can achieve my goals and that I have set for myself.
Okay. So are you basically saying that you weren't able to have a basic education in your country?
It was hard to have a good education because the government doesn't pay for school. So, like, the money have to come from your parents' pocket. If your parents can provide that, then you don't get to go to school.
Oh, okay. I understand.
Yeah.
What do you miss about your country of origin?
What I miss about my country of origin is the fact that I'm not able to see my mother. That's the number one. When I always talk to her, I talk to her, but it's different when it's in person because we have like this very strong bond. I also miss my friends and family. I miss, of course, the free environment where I won't be judged or violated because of who I am. I miss the meals we have as a family, we used to have as a family, and the fun. The list just goes on. I miss everything about where I came from.
Wow. Well, I just want to say kudos to you. Like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
What don't you miss about your country of origin?
What I don't miss is, I would say one thing I don't miss is the education system, which is really, really, like, different. The entire school, the way the school is set up is different. How people receive you and the way teachers treat you, it's hard to learn in that kind of environment. And the school system needs to be an environment where students feel empowered and thrive in their learning. But having that kind of school system, like, it does not give a courage for students to just keep learning and stuff. So that's one thing I don't miss about it.
Okay. What did your friends and family say when you told them you were leaving?
So I remember a week before I came here, my mom threw like a party where she invited families and close friends. So we get to kill a goat and have a big cooking for everybody to eat. We also hired a photographer and we had pictures for souvenir. It was a memorable event that I will never forget. So having those people around me, knowing that I'm leaving, having the support, it's something that feels great. And it made me excited about coming here. But however, leaving them behind, it's hard, but, you know, at the end of the day, life just goes on.
Oh, so it was a bittersweet moment.
Yes, it was. Okay. It was a very memorable moment with them before I came over here.
Okay. What were your expectations of the United States?
I did have some expectation. I expected for the United States to expect me based on who I am. I didn't have like those kind of expectation. People be like, you know, tall buildings, you know, everything free. No, I didn't have this kind of expectations. I just expected to, you know, accept me who I am. Don't judge me because I am a black female Muslim. So I know having all those values in this country is a lot. And racism is something that will always occur in America. So it didn't meet the expectation, you know?
Yeah. No, I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. So your journey to New York City, for instance, tell me about your journey to New York. What did it entail? Did it go according to plan or was there any like mishaps? Like what was the process of that?
I mean, I didn't have a plan coming here. I came here by myself and it was my first time being on a plane.
Wow.
Since I'm a civilized person, even if you see me on the plane, you wouldn't notice that, oh, this is her first time in the plane. I wasn't, like, doing any kind of acting or this is weird or not. But once the plane landed, we got off and I went to a station where you have to drop off your passport so they could give you a permanent residence, which I obtained a few months later.
Okay.
So I thought traveling all by myself to America was going to be very stressful because America is a big name, is a big continent and stuff. So, but actually it wasn't for me. I think one of the reasons because I found it easy because I'm multilingual and I have a great communication skills. I was able to navigate my way to be all the way to the waiting area where I met my father and my American siblings. So it wasn't hard.
Oh, okay. But it was still nerve-wracking, basically.
Yes, it was. But I didn't show it, though.
Okay, so how did New York City meet and fail to meet your expectations?
New York City meets my expectation in education-wise, I would say that. It filled me with an education that I will not get from my country of origin. So that's something that I'm really grateful for. It has provided me with job opportunity, which is something I will forever, again, be grateful because without a job, I wouldn't be able to make money or even think of sending it back home, you know?
No, I understand.
Yeah.
Okay. And how did it fail to meet your expectations? Like, I guess... basically what I'm saying is I guess what is something that you didn't expect that basically like you were like surprised at or wasn't used to you?
I can't think of anything that it has failed so for like for New York City to fail and those expectations for me because I didn't really have any expectations, as I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on, how were you received upon arriving in your neighborhood specifically and the United States more generally?
I did not receive any welcome in my neighborhood. This is America, you know. Mm-hmm. Other than my family and other people who are close to my father and nothing else, in my neighborhood, people don't really care about each other. There is no good greeting between neighbors, which is completely different from what I grew up. Where I grew up, it's so peaceful. Even me and you, we might not know each other, but like living in the same neighborhood is like we're family. Whenever I see you, we greet each other, checking on each other. That's what I'm used to, but like, the neighborhood I'm living in, everybody's just on their own corner, minding their own business. You know, and I'm a type of person that I like to greet people and admiring people and acknowledging them around me, you know? So it was hard for me to adjust that.
Oh, I see. I see.
Yeah.
Okay, so basically, we're moving on to when you were adjusting to New York City. How did you adjust to a new language or a new culture in New York City? Like, how did you do that?
For me personally, the language was not too challenging because I pick up really fast. Plus, at home, my siblings, they don't speak our native language. So I teach them our native language while they teach me in English. So I was able to express myself and take care of my needs in English just a few months later. But compare that to the culture-wise, it's very complex because I was born and raised into a whole different culture. Therefore, adjusting to a complete new culture was severe because my culture is very different. For instance, when we are greeting our elders, we have to show respect by looking down, meaning we don't make eye contact with them. This is the opposite of America, you know. I remember when I started school, when the teachers used to talk to me, I would look down and they would be like, when I'm talking to you, I want you to look at me in the eyes. But that was hard for me because that's not in my culture. In my culture is the other way around. Until today, I'm not good at making great eye contact, but I try my best. You know, and another distinction is the way we speak and how we carry ourselves. You know, and food is another major variation to adjusting the culture in New York City. So the only food I eat outside is, I would say, chicken tenders. When I go out to a restaurant, that's the only thing I would eat. Most of the time, the American restaurants, that's what I would order. Because as a Muslim, we have dietary restriction. There are certain food that we cannot eat, you know. Our food has to be halal. I don't know if you know what that term means, but the term halal means permissible in Arabic.
Oh, okay.
Our food, especially in animal, it has to be killed in Islamic way. Therefore, the food we eat has to be permissible according to Islamic law, which is one of the reasons when I go out, I mostly eat in African restaurants because I know the food is halal over there.
Oh, okay. I
So that's
understand.
a major, you know, thing for me to adjust. That's something I cannot adjust to because it's not allowing my culture to eat whatever I want. And the food has to be, you know, especially the animal has to be killed in certain ways.
Oh, so you're saying it was basically hard to adjust to places that would have
Yes.
that religion rule to you that would apply to you in order to be. Oh, okay. I understand.
Exactly.
Okay. What new opportunities were available to you upon your arrival in New York City?
So the opportunity that were available to me upon my arrival, I would continue saying it is education. Because I was able to get into a lot of program in New York City and adequate to work. I was granted a green card, Social Security card to work, and of course a health insurance. So it was a blessing because not all of us immigrants are lucky to receive all of that significant documentation in America. The education over here is 10 times better than the school I used to attend in my country. So coming here, being able to go to school, learning things and learning them in different way and see different things was very beneficial for me. And those opportunities formed me, I would say, into who I am today. However, the most compelling was education because a proper education is what helped us immigrants settle to a new country and alter the new environment. Therefore, for me personally, education just includes everything.
Okay, I see what you were saying.
Yeah.
Were you denied any opportunities because you were an immigrant?
I was there. So when I first got here, I was desperate to work. I did a lot of job hunting. After school, I would just take a bus to go to different places so I can find a job and work. But when places that I go to, those are like a retailing place and stuff because I didn't know too much English. So the answers were always no to me. We're not hiring or come back again. So, but that didn't make me stop because I've come too far to stop there. People will look at, like, my body language, because I just arrived over here. I'm still like, you look at me, you know this person is new here. So if you don't speak certain language, like Spanish, it will be hard for people. So for some people, including myself, to obtain a job, because it's like the second language here, you know? Mm-hmm. Although I am like certified to work in America, job opportunity were denied to me because I would say because of who I am, because they will look at me and say, I'm sorry, we're not hiring right now, or come back, even though I know personally that might not be the case, but I just take it. There's nothing I can do about it, you know?
No, yes, I understand. So they would basically tell you, oh, we're not hiring, but even though you basically like had a feeling that they were just telling you no.
Yeah.
Okay, understandable. And how did that make you feel exactly?
It hurts, you know, not getting something because of who you are. It's just not right for me. You know, just tell me I can't get it, but don't look at me in my face and tell me I don't get it and make me feel like, oh, this is the reason why you're telling me I can't get it. You understand?
No, I do. I do.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
Mm-hmm.
What did the assimilation project look like for you?
For me, the assimilation project is something that is and will be hard for me to adjust, because living in another culture, specifically in America, people often want you to be just like them. This is what I'm not able to do. I can't be like you because I'm simply not you. You know, I try my best to adjust and be part of both culture and able to live with that, but it's hard. People don't understand that it's okay to be different, even if we're all living in the same community. You know, they expect you to be act just like them. And I can do that, you know?
No, completely, completely.
Yeah.
What in your life keeps you connected to your nation of origin?
I would say being me and not forgetting where I came from. The adequacy of maintaining my tradition and culture. Living in a different continent does not give me a reason to forget who I am as a whole. These are the values that I always remind myself to feel like I'm connecting back to my country, my nation of origin.
Wow. How do you navigate a bilingual life?
Bilingual life. I would say multilingual because I speak six languages.
Oh, wow. Okay, I didn't know that, but wow.
I speak Jahanko, which is my native language. I speak French, Bambara, Wolof, Mandingo, and of course English. So I'm also kind of fluent in Spanish. Because I took Spanish classes when I was back home. When I came over here, I went to international school. So almost everybody over there is Spanish. And our workplace, every single employee at my work is in Spanish, so I would talk to them. Because I'm really interested in language, so I would talk to them. They would teach me and stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so being multilingual is extremely important and a valuable asset to individual families and also to our entire society, because it helps me understand and communicate with others from various cultures and backgrounds. You know, and it also helped me personally, because being able to speak more than one language, you know, it helps you see the world in different way. I would even say that it can sometimes feel like you're having different personality. Because today I could be speaking English and, you know, I feel like more like American stuff. But when I'm speaking my native language, I feel like I'm in a whole other world. So, and there are a lot of advantages of being multilingual or bilingual. And some of them is that it gives you like a greater flexibility to move around in different positions and more job opportunities, of course, and decision making, networking skills. It's just too much. There's a lot of advantage of being bilingual or multilingual because it gives you the ability to understand associated culture practices and like attitudes, values, and norms of that language that you might speak, you know?
No, yeah, definitely.
Learning another language, it just opened door to a greater comprehension and a full appreciation, you know, and your cultures and traditions.
Yeah.
You know, so I was able to navigate myself in New York City, I would say, because of these things, you know.
No, yeah.
And you're going to lie to those and opportunities.
Obviously. Oh, my God. I'm actually amazed right now. I really did not know that about you, but...
Yeah.
Like, it gives you a chance to connect, I guess, with other people and feel more closer to them.
Yeah, it just gives you a lot of opportunities, you know. Because a lot of companies, they look for people who speak more than one language. You got to be able to create connections between them and, like, whichever company they're working with, or have a great relationship.
No, yeah.
You know?
What was the hardest part about your move to New York City?
Start again, please.
What was the hardest part about your move to New York City?
The hardest part of my moving to New York City is leaving everything behind me that I had in my home country. I had to leave my family, my friends behind to be on this journey today. So basically, when I think about it, at the end of the day, it's what's best for me. Because today I'm capable of providing for the people I care about, which is something I'm proud of because I have a very soft spot for humanities and people that I care about, those around me. So I try my best to help whoever I can, you know?
No, yeah, that's completely understandable.
Yeah.
Okay, so... What was your favorite part about living in New York?
My favorite part about living in New York is the convenience of traveling, I would say. And of course, the diversity. That's what I appreciate the most about New York. I appreciate the fact that it's diverse, which makes me include in the city. So seeing diverse background settling in New York, there are just so many ways you can relate to one another. That's what makes New York unique to me, because wherever you go, I'm able to see somebody who look like me, and it feels good to see people who look like you, who understand you. And New York City have that diversity, you know?
No, yeah, they really do.
Yeah.
How has your neighborhood changed since your arrival?
My neighborhood hasn't really changed, though, honestly, because everything looked the same. One thing that changed is there has been a lot of violence and crime lately. For instance, I remember last year a guy being shot in my building, which was very sick here, and it led me to insecurity whenever Mouse died. And everything pretty much after that is just the same, just stores, people I see, still the same. So nothing much changed but that. I mean, that's something, that's a major change over there.
Oh my God.
Violence and crime, yeah.
I'm so sorry that you had experienced that.
Yeah, it was really hard. But, you know, because I'm living in the Bronx, things are very different over here.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Is there anything you fear because you're an immigrant to the United States?
Personally, I don't fear nothing because I'm an immigrant, because I know at the end of the day I'm legal here and I cannot be deported. However, I do have some fear for my fellow immigrants, because God forbid the worst could happen to them, you know, any time. So for me, I don't really worry about nothing for myself because I have all the documents I needed to be legal in this country.
Okay. Did you ever feel you needed to hide who you are being an immigrant in the United States?
No, I never felt that I have to hide who I am. And if I hide who I am, then, well, there is no identity of me, so there's no point of me hiding. I am proud that I'm an immigrant living in the United States of America, which could never be without us immigrants. Think about it. Immigrants built this country and continue to do so. Therefore, I don't see any reason for anyone to hide themselves just because of their status in America. You know, that shouldn't be a reason.
I honestly agree with you completely.
Yeah.
What would you change about the current U.S. immigration system?
You know, I always have this question in mind. Because if I have the power today, it would be a pleasure for me to change the separation of family that happened. It was in 2018 or 2019.
Oh.
I remember, for instance, I remember reading an article about a policy called the Administration of a Zero Tolerance Policy, which was announced, I believe, on April 2018, that basically over 2,000 children were separated from their families. I just couldn't believe it. I just got speechless, you know? And that's the least they could have done, separating innocent children from their family. I couldn't believe this was happening in America. So changing that would be a blessing for me because I believe that no children deserve this. The least they could have done is bring them together and make whatever decision they have to make, but at least keep the families together, don't separate them. That could bring a lot of difference in the child's life. So go and separate. My mother is separate. I don't even, sometimes things that are happening here, is when you think about it, it just gets to my nerve, honestly. I just can't explain how it makes me feel, you know? So that's the least they could have done. But separate them? No. Because you wouldn't take it if someone take your child away from you. You make you separate from your child. But then what makes you think that it's okay for you to do that to somebody else's child or somebody else's family? That's not okay. You know, you don't get to do things just because you have a power. No, they are humans just like you. You have family, they have family. If you see them trying to come to America, it's because they want to provide for their family. You're over here, you're providing for their family, so why can't they? It doesn't make sense to me, you know?
No, I can sense your frustration from the tone of your voice. I can sense like your urgency. I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
If you become or you are, had become a citizen, or onto the path of citizenship, please tell me about that process. How did that happen? What were the requirements or the needs of you to having to go through that?
As for right now, I'm not a citizen yet, but on the 18th of this month, that's when I have 5 years of living in America. So now I'm eligible to apply for citizenship, which is something that I've been researching about, like, what are the steps that I need to take to become a citizen, but it's a lot, because they're going to be tests of, you know, speaking English, writing, oral, it's just too much. But since now I speak English, I feel like it won't be hard for me. But I'm definitely into the process right now. I'm doing research about it, about stuff that I need in order to be approved, you know?
No, yes. So are you saying that you need to be living here for a period of time before you may apply for citizenship?
Yes. For us immigrants, we have to be living here for 5 years. And the fastest way is, like, for example, you are married to an American citizen. If you want to be a citizen yourself, you have to be married to that person for 3 years. you know, so I already have 5 years, so I could just apply it, you know, if I'm marrying an American citizen, you know?
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I came over here 2015, October 18, 2015. That's when I came over here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so how has the politics of the last decade impacted your experience as an immigrant in the United States?
I can't recall the past decade's impact. However, what I do is... I'm sorry.
No.
What I do know is how today's politics has impacted my experience as an immigrant in the U.S. For instance, President Trump took a strong stand on immigration, the constitution of the border wall, like building the wall.
Yes.
And he even placed a restriction on travel to the United States for citizens of, I don't know if you heard of it, the seven Muslim countries.
No, yes, I have.
Yeah, they are Iran, Iraq, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, Syria, and Yemen. So even though I'm not citizens of any of these countries, it affected me. You know, it affected us all because we're all immigrants. So, like, we feel for each other. We know what it means to be told, oh, you can come to America. People from your country cannot come to America. Because I have a lot of friends who are from those countries. So their families were stuck. They couldn't come over here. So I really felt for them. And only if I had a power, but there's nothing to do but to encourage my friends that, you know, it's gonna come to an end one day, you know?
No, come on. No, I understand. I understand what you're trying to say.
Yeah.
So is there anything that I should have asked that I didn't ask?
I think you've asked everything.
Okay. So,
Yeah.
Just looking back on what you have told me, I did actually think of additional questions I would like to ask after your responses, uh-huh. If that's okay with you.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so going towards where I have asked you on what will you change for the immigration policies. So for you, you're basically stating that you have felt moved, you have felt like if someone was to basically come to you and say, oh, but they're not from this country, that even though that they're coming here, they're still coming illegally. How would you respond to that?
Even if they come in here illegally, I understand there's law that we need to follow. Coming here legally, I know it's not allowed. However, even though those family were coming here illegally, I guess, that does not give them a reason to anybody to do such thing to our family. You know, there are ways to do things. There are other ways to do things, not just separating families and stuff. You know,
no.
They could take another action to it.
Okay, so you're saying, yes, they have broken the law, but there could be other percussions to what they have done by not just taking to the extreme.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. You have stated basically that President Trump, with his airline ban on the seven countries that have you mentioned, how do you feel about this upcoming election, and how, if Trump were to be elected for another session, how would that be for you? Like, what would your reaction be? What are your concerns?
You know, it wouldn't be a shock for me, because Trump won in the first place against Hillary Clinton, and now he's against Joe Biden. For me, even if he won, it would not be a surprise for me, because just like Donald Trump, you know, they're all corrupted. They don't like immigrants. Just like Donald Trump himself and people in America. So this is an opportunity for them to support the president by voting for him. So what they want could be running in America. You understand?
Oh, you know, I get you.
Yeah.
Okay. So You have stated also that you have spoken multiple languages, not just two, but multiple, which I congratulate you because I'm bilingual. Yeah. And it's like I can't even learn another language. But basically, what I'm basically wanted to ask was how do you, when people have heard you talk with these many different languages, even though they see that you know that you explain that you're from Africa, you like you know you have. You are Islamic, as you said. How do they react to you knowing and be so knowledgeable?
It's cutting, so I didn't really hear you correctly.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I will repeat myself. So you have explained that you have spoken six languages, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I basically wanted to ask how do people react when they find out that you're so knowledgeable, that you know these different languages, even though, like, let's say, like, you know, you're just African or you're just, like, Islamic. Like, some people meet people who they don't know that they have hidden talents. So how do they react when you know so much about different cultures and different languages?
They just feel surprised and amazed, I would say. For example, the first job I had was a retail. So we get to have a lot of customers, like diversity over there. And every employee at the store is Spanish. Most of them only speak Spanish. Some of them speak Spanish and in English. So when we'll have customers, like Muslim customers, I would say, or like African. So someone who look like me, they will call me, oh, do you speak this language? I'm like, yes. So I hope that person, I do a great customer service by providing that person's need. So it amazes them. Even when I was leaving the store, the manager was like, oh, stay. I will give you a higher position. I will make you a key holder instead of just doing customer service. But, you know, I had to go. So I left the store, but it was great when people find out that I speak more than, one language. It led me to programs that I benefit from and job opportunities. It feels great because you get to put it in your applications and stuff, in your resume. When people read that, it just amazes them. They become interested in you,
No, yes. A follow-up question for that one, actually. As you said, you are very knowledgeable, you like to learn, you like different cultures, you like to basically expand, like, what you know already.
Yes.
When most people think about immigrants, they think, oh, they're coming to another country, they're going to be difficult and have difficulties adapting to the United States. However, you are not only meeting, but you are exceeding the expectations with all these opportunities that you are obtaining. How would you feel if people would say, like, I guess you didn't deserve or you didn't work hard enough for that? Or maybe it was just you just got lucky. What would you say to those people?
It's not a luck. It took time to learn. So obtaining that knowledge isn't my luck. It just takes hard work and determination and have the interest. When I grew up, there was a diversity. But it's not like the language that I speak, I'm not living with those people in my house, But like going outside, showing interest, oh, how do you say this in your language? They say it to me, So I do earn that. I earn it. I did the hard work in order for me to obtain the skills that I have,
No, yes. I'm just trying to basically ask them, because I know, as you know, we're currently in a country where, if I may be so bold, that physical outer appearance, such as race and the color of your skin, is so argumental in our country right now. I just wanted to know your views on that. And how do you actually feel about what's going on based on race and the color of your skin? Like, how do you react to that? Or, like, what is your thoughts on those?
I have faced a lot of racism just because of my skin color at work. There was a lot of employees of us walking on the floor, but some customers come and they look at me and they look around. They find another employee walking on the floor. I see them. They walk towards that person. you know, and talk to them and stuff. It feels bad. It hurts. I work here. I know stuff just like that person. So my skin color should not differentiate me from that person. We both had the same knowledge of the store, how to navigate being a customer service in the store. So, like, just picking that person over me just because, oh, you think that I don't speak Spanish and stuff. Actually, I wouldn't want to see that work.
I'm sorry, I did not catch that last thing that you had said. It cut off.
I was saying I would like to share a story that happened at work.
Yes.
So when I was going to high school, as I said, I had this job. So I would work after school. From school, I would go straight to work. So one day, a Spanish lady came in the store. And I've been working for the store almost like how many years? So she came to the store. She was in the line on the checkout, you know. And she looked at me. There was no other customer standing. You know, and she looked at me, and then she looked back around, act like she didn't hear me. I said, can you come, please, so I can check you out? And she waited, because it was two of us in the register that day. The other girl, she was Spanish, but she also speaks English. So the lady waited on the side until my co-worker finished with that customer, and then she decided to go to her. And then I didn't say nothing. I stayed silent. Come, who's also Spanish, and I checked her out. I was speaking, and then the lady started looking at me like, "Oh, tú hablas español? Like, sí, yo hablo español." I tell her that, and then she was like, "Oh, wow!" I'm like, "Yeah, you don't just get to judge me because Spanish? No, it doesn't work that way." Just because the way I'm look does not tell everything about me. So she had the right to choose who she want to go to. I was fine with it, but I confronted her that, yes, I do speak your language. I could communicate with you, you know?
No, yes, I understand that. Oh, my God.
So that confrontation was a big thing for me. I felt great. I let her know. And the customer, my coworker was like, as you should let them know, just because you're from this place doesn't mean you don't speak this language, you know?
No,
and it's not okay to judge somebody or like to react to it just because you have a thought in your head.
No, wow. Oh, gosh. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I applaud you for taking that.
Oh, I felt great when I did that.
I wouldn't have reacted the same that you would have, but
yeah,
I applaud you to be so professional. Oh my God.
Thank you.
So power to you. Well, I believe I don't have any more questions. This was a great conversation.
I'm enjoying it.
I honestly like love your responses. I appreciate you doing this.
Of course, no problem.
Okay, well, this is the end of the interview, so I would stop recording.